Shall we pray together?
Living God, we thank you that you have brought us to life in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that once we were dead, now we're alive. Thank you, Lord, for speaking into our lives. Thank you, Lord, for your life-giving truth. We pray, Lord, that you would make us alert and aware now afresh, and you speak to each of us personally as we reflect on the truth of Scripture. And Lord, we pray that in this that new things would come to life in our lives, that the old life would be put to death and the new life would come increasingly. And Lord, that in that there would be such a display of your goodness and such a blessing for those around us that the world would give you praise. And all this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this June, Susan and I are going to celebrate 30 years of married life. I know it's hard to believe. We were very, very young when we got married. And I'd love to say that the reason why I proposed to Susan was because I thought, this is really going to help me to become a more rounded person. And I would love to be able to say that the reason why I proposed was so that I thought, well, we can do more good in the world, surely, if we sort of join forces. The reason why I proposed to Susan was because I want to live the rest of my life with her. And, you know, it's similar when we come to faith in God. I imagine that primarily for the vast majority of people, whenever they come to believe in Jesus Christ, their first thought is not, this is going to help me have a better character, or this is going to help me have more of an impact for good in the world, because those aren't necessarily things that we're thinking about at all. The reason why we come to faith in Christ is because we are so frustrated and disappointed with a sense of hopelessness and powerlessness and lack of purpose in our lives, and dealing with a sense of guilt and shame and frustration, that we come to God. That's why Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, because the kingdom of God belongs to them. In other words, it's only when we realize our need, our poverty, that we start to look for God. And as Jesus says, well, and God is there with all of his glorious kingdom waiting for us. And then as we encounter the living God, we encounter his goodness, and also as well, we are gradually transformed to be more and more like Jesus. And so the transformation of character happens. The transformation of the world through us happens. But the reality is that's not the reason why we come to Jesus. We come to Jesus because we're desperate, because we're disappointed, and because we feel terribly empty. And that's why we come to Jesus. And that's just as it should be, because that's when breakthroughs happen. And God does this amazing thing of bringing us from death to life and bringing things that didn't exist so that there's new life. The thing is, the devil conspires to tell us that goodness is not a good thing. So the devil's constantly at work trying to defame the name of Jesus Christ and to defame anything that looks like goodness. And so anything that's good, the devil tries to to put a spin on it. Tries to make goodness look as if it's not attractive. And I think this is particularly true for men, but I think it's true for all of us as human beings. There's a sense of, why would you want to be good? Because we have been sold this lie that goodness has all sorts of negative connotations to it. And so we have phrases like goody-two-shoes and do-gooder. But the reality is goodness is a wonderful description of the nature of God. And it is a very, very powerful thing as well. Peter, the apostle, when he was speaking in the house of the Roman centurion Cornelius, said, "You know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." What a wonderful way to describe the life of Jesus. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil because God was with him. I was having a conversation with someone over the coffee about what does it look like whenever someone is oppressed by the devil, and it's not a pretty thing. But the Bible tells us that those who aren't under the rule of Christ are oppressed by the devil. And all sorts of things happen because of that. Addictions and broken relationships. And those addictions can look like things that look fairly innocuous, like addiction to work, addiction to praise from other people. There's lots of things that we don't sort of think, oh, that's a really bad addiction. But actually, there's all sorts of difficult things that happen whenever we allow ourselves to be oppressed by the devil. The thing about Jesus was, he wasn't a do-gooder, but he always did what was good. He consistently did the right thing. And it had a powerful impact because he was drawn to what was broken, what was sick, and what was out of kilter. And that's what happens. That's the nature of goodness. Last June marked the 10th anniversary of the shootings on the beach in Tunisia, where 38 people were shot dead and a lot more people were injured by the gunman who was going up and down the beach spraying bullets on the beach. And people understandably were running, panicking, trying to get as far away from the gunman as possible. But there was one man, and I've always been struck by this story. There's one man who, first of all, got his wife to safety. And then he started to run towards the gunfire. He didn't have any military training, but he knew that wherever there was gunfire, there were probably going to be casualties. And so he ran towards the gunfire. And when he came across someone who needed first aid, he gave them first aid, and then he ran on towards the gunfire. He wasn't armed. He wasn't trained. That's what goodness looks like. If you want to understand what goodness looks like, goodness makes a person brave. Goodness makes a person courageous. So that wonderful story we may be familiar with of the father and the two sons, or the wasteful son, or the prodigal son, whatever we want to call the story, it's about the goodness of God. Because the thing about goodness is that goodness is drawn towards goodness no matter how defiled it is. And so no matter how tarnished the goodness that was placed in us has become, no matter how sinful and broken we are, God is drawn to us like a moth to a flame. Because God is good. So in this story, as soon as the father sees the son on the horizon, he runs towards him. And it's difficult for us to understand in modern culture just how courageous the father was. The father wasn't just running towards the son because he was glad to see him. Of course he was. But he was running towards the son to protect him. Because behind him was a very angry community. This son had brought shame on not just the family, but the whole community. And if the father hadn't got to him first, he may have been killed. He had brought so much wealth out of the community that it would have led to everyone's lifestyle being impacted. Because here was a significant employer in the area, and a lot of the finance of that central family was taken out of the community, and it was blown. But even more than that was the sense of shame that someone in the community could have done this. So what does the father do in his goodness? He runs towards his emaciated, smelly, dirty son, and he throws his arms around him. Why? Because God is good. And goodness is revealed by the courage that it shows. There are lots of other aspects of God's love as well as goodness, and all of them are not of this world. No amount of hard work can save us. We cannot save ourselves, nor can we make ourselves even slightly better. We cannot increase our quotient of goodness. It's a gift from God. It's a gift that's been given to us in Jesus Christ, who on the cross took our sins away and gave us the gift of his goodness. Which is why the church should, by its nature, alive with the Spirit, always be drawn towards what is broken, what is sinful, what is lost, what is impoverished, what is deeply damaged. If the church is as it should be, alive with the Spirit, we will, in our lives, corporately and individually, we will always be drawn towards what is broken. Because that's what God does. And it will always cost. It cost Jesus. It will cost the church. It will cost us. But the cost is always worth it. And the closer we come to Jesus, the more we become aware of our own sinfulness and lack. It's why Paul in the Bible says that I, Paul, the chief of sinners. It's why Patrick describes himself like that in his piece of work, the Confessions. The closer we come to God, the more we realize how much we are not like him, how much we need him. Which is why if we are truly being made good, we don't become do-gooders. We don't become judgmental. Because as God gives us the gift of goodness, he also gives us an awareness of our need of him. Which is why, as church, we talk about those five aspects of God's call in our lives. The first thing is give your all. So as God has given his all to us, we give our all to him. And in doing so, we invite him more and more into our lives. And then we realize we can't do this alone, so we need to get closer to the family, because without our brothers and sisters, we're not going to get very far. And then together we realize that we need to keep on growing. We need to keep hungering after the living God. And what happens when we do that? We serve each other because we see the goodness, the spark of goodness around us in those who are around us. And so in that, we're moving into a more and more humble place. We're not thinking so much about ourselves. We're thinking about the people around us. And so in the church, we learn to serve. And we do so not for praise or a pat on the back. We do so because we just can't help but want to get closer to the living God. And if there's one way to help us get closer to the living God, it's to serve other people. It's to look for the goodness that's there and to love it and to bless it and to serve it. And as we do that, then we transform the world. Not because of a goodness that we've manufactured, but because of a goodness that God has grown. A goodness that cannot help but be drawn to what is broken. There was a man called George Muller who was from Bristol. He lived in the 19th century. And he cared for over 10,000 orphans. He started off with no resources, and there were many, many accounts of how God did miraculous things through him. I remember one time whenever he was there with hundreds and hundreds of orphans in one of his many, many orphanages. And he gathered all the children together. And they gathered their plates and their mugs, even though he knew that there was no food to feed them. And yet, God told them, just get them all together in the refectory, because I'm going to provide. And as they were all waiting, someone came from the local bakery and said, we have all this bread that we didn't sell. Can we give it to you? And the hundreds of children had something to eat. And then a milkman came and said, my milk cart has broken down just up the road and all the milk is going to spoil. Can you take all of this milk? There are many stories of what God did through George Muller. One of the things about him was that people described him as displaying goodness to an extraordinary extent. And he was once asked, I'm sure he was asked many times, but he was once asked, what the secret was of his goodness. And he said, he started to speak about his secret death. And he said, when he was talking about this, he said, there was a day when I died, utterly died. And as he spoke, he actually physically bent over and he almost touched the floor. And he said, I died to George Muller. His opinions, his preferences, his tastes, and his will. I died to the world, its approval or censure. I died to the blame or approval of even my brethren and friends. And since then, I have studied only to show myself approved of God. Transformation of our lives and transformation of the world through our lives cannot and will never happen just by human will. It only comes as a gift from the living God. And our job in this is to put our selfish, sinful nature to death. Jesus died on the cross that we may come from a place of death to life, to be forgiven and set free, and to be given this gift of goodness, the Holy Spirit in us. But the Bible also talks about, Paul the Apostle talks about, Jesus talks about us having our own cross. And the reason why we carry an invisible cross is so that we, with our own spiritual hammer and nails, can put to death the old self whenever it raises its ugly head. Another way to think of it is, you know that game where the wee things come up and you have to hit them down with a hammer? Whack-a-mole. Well, the fact is, every day of our lives, our old lives, we've been given this new life through Jesus Christ, his life, his good life. But you and I know every day we play a game of whack-a-mole where our old sinful selves rear their ugly heads. Our job, bang, 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 is to nail them to our own invisible cross, to say, I'm not going to go that road. And the more we do that, the more we open ourselves up to the life-giving God pouring out his Holy Spirit. We can't produce the life. We cannot make ourselves good. But we can trust the one who gives the gift of goodness, and we can make our capacity for that greater by playing the game of whack-a-mole, by nailing our selfish old nature to the cross. Goodness is powerful. It's a gift from God. And the outworking of it, because it's not just an attitude, the attitude will show itself in action. The outworking of God-given goodness is being courageously drawn towards that which is dangerous and broken and sinful and dirty. Because that's what God does. And that's what he's done for each one of us. And if we let him, by faith in Jesus Christ and continual turning towards God, he will fill us and fill us and fill us with the life-giving Spirit. And we will become increasingly like Jesus. And we will know it, because the brokenness of the world in all its various aspects, and there are many, we will feel drawn, drawn towards some aspect or more than one aspect of that brokenness, to bring God's love, to bring light, to bring healing, and to bring peace. And there is nothing better than to be caught up in the work of Jesus Christ, the one alone who is good, and yet came to give us his goodness. And so Paul, towards the end of that reading that we had today, says this: give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. Use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. What an impact that will have on our families, on our community, on this city, and on the world. If as a church of Jesus Christ, we allow ourselves to be drawn with the goodness of God, to have courage and not be afraid, to step into the darkness and the danger, and to bring the mercy and the healing and the goodness of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that as when we were long, long way off, you came to meet us in your Son and welcomed us as your children, that you ran out to meet us and threw your arms around us. When we had no goodness in us, when we were dead in our sin, you came and threw your arms around us and brought us back to life. Lord, we thank you that you are the one who brings the dead to life. And you're the one also who brings things into being, new things out of nothing. So Lord, today, by your Holy Spirit, Lord, pour out your Spirit and bring the likeness of Christ into our lives in ways where we are missing it, where we have nothing. And Lord, bring into our lives new creativity. Give us the new gifts of the Holy Spirit and deepen the gifts that we have, gifts of love, that we may bring healing, that we may speak truth, that we may show mercy, that we may intercede, that we may encourage, Lord, in all sorts of ways. Help us by the power of your Holy Spirit to bring your life and light, to bring your healing. And Lord, do this by making us increasingly good, not judgmental do-gooders, but those who are truly and bravely good. So that the world may be transformed and that everyone may know, God, how good you are and how your goodness has been shown in Jesus Christ. And we pray this in his name.